see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Well, you could bring stuff with you for okay. sure. People brought their books like ready to go, knowing okay. that like we weren't gonna have any Netflix time. Like you couldn't watch Netflix, which was you know.
But wow. you could bring books because on The Bachelor even they limit your reading material. Yeah.
You can't bring books on The Bachelor.
I'm pretty sure at least it used to be that you could only bring the Bible.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley.
Hello. We know that we've been spending a lot of time, more time perhaps than usual, talking about The Bachelor, but there is still more pod content.
Yes, and it's not Bachelor focused because one of our new obsessions as of late has been Netflix's The Circle. So we decided to take a break from the woman-on-woman crime and focus instead on alerts, influencers, and the sweet, sweet Joey Sasso.
Oh, man. So we had our HuffPost colleague Jenna Amatulli and The Circle cast member Sean Taylor in studio to talk all things The Circle. We hope you enjoy this bonus pod. Here with us, we have Jenna Amatulli, a trends reporter and our wonderful colleague.
Hey, guys.
First time on the pod.
First time on
the pod. We're so blessed. Hashtag blessed.
I feel so honored to be here, honestly. These are the celebrities of the newsroom. So to be among you, I feel like I'm meeting like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle in the flesh.
We accept you. One of
Am
us.
I Harry?
I was about to say, you guys have to decide who is who on that
Honestly,
one.
I'll take either. That's fine. Both are a compliment.
You know, I'm the partier of the group, so me and Harry, we have a lot of similarities.
I miss Reckless Harry. That was a time.
It was a
good Harry.
Time. Oh, man. We could have 7 podcasts right now. But we are going to talk about The Circle, which is one of my favorite new reality TV shows.
It's arguably the best Netflix show that's come out, I think, in the last 6 months, which is a bold statement to make, but I will stand by it till I die.
Now, when did you guys pick up The Circle? Because I was late to the game after I heard everybody was watching.
I think I was medium to the game, you know? Like, not first, but then it was a couple people unrelated to each other had recommended it to me. I think the first one or two segments had dropped, and then I was just super into it.
I think based on that, I'm probably medium to... I might have been late to the game, which I'm ashamed as a trends reporter to admit, because by the time I got to it, I think the week I watched... I should also admit, I watched this entire show in 2 days.
Oh, it was obscene.
No.
Very short time.
And I think the week I watched it was when... The last
actually maybe third that maybe
dropped.
That was the same for me.
Yeah, because I'm very much the kind of person I have no patience anymore. So when these shows drop week by week, I can't. I wait till the end of it. It's like when you get the free trial for something. I wait till the show is completely on the streaming service and then get the free trial so I can binge it. Sorry, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, etc.
But that's the way it works. Like, you like to hear a little bit about it. Should I invest my time?
For sure.
We don't have that much time in our lives.
No.
Lately, too, with all these Bachelor episodes, let me tell you, I don't have any time on my hands.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, so for the people who listen to this podcast that might not have watched The Circle, I think we should give a little bit of a rundown in terms of what the structure of it is. Jenna, do you want to take this one?
I think I can. So the concept of the circle is they gather, I believe they start with a group of six, or are there eight of them?
I think eight.
There are eight of them in the beginning. The number changes throughout the course of the series. Yeah. But basically the concept is each person comes in and they have a specific persona that they want to show the world via a form of social media that they call aptly the circle. It's basically a television screen that has like a messaging component to it. But the only way to use it is to via audio. So people say like, hi, I'm whoever, like press send. The only way to send messages or communicate with anybody else is through the circle. But the people come in and basically they can be, hi, my name is Joey Sasso and I'm a Guido guy from Rochester, New York. And that's the guy on the show and he's exactly who he says he is. On the other side of things, then you have a guy who claims to be a woman named Rebecca.
Who is his girlfriend.
Is actually his girlfriend. His real name is Seaburn. It sounds horrible, but he comes in and he's like, I'm going to be a catfish. I'm going to be pretending to be my girlfriend, Rebecca. He comes in and he does that. And in the beginning of the season, you're kind of like, I'm skeptical about this. And as you go forward,
There's a lot of heart. There's a shocking amount of heart.
Right.
And to be clear, everyone lives in the same building because the circle is this kind of tech thing that was originally used for the UK version of the show. And so they film in the same building that the UK show does, which I found super interesting. So they live in this building. They're each in their own apartment. So they're physically isolated. You know, they get limit. They don't even have clocks. They don't really know what time of day it is. And the whole structure of these people's lives while they are in the game is these screens. And they get various alerts. They get various tasks. And then at the end of each kind of day or cycle, I think the cycles sort of last different amounts of time, everyone has to rank each other as to how much they like them, at first, and then a little bit more strategy comes in later. And those rankings determine two influencers who then are able to block someone from the circle. And that's how people get eliminated. And it sounds totally like Big Brother terrifying. Mm-hmm. And the premise is sort of, if you think about it too much, you're like, oh, this is kind of dark. But I was shocked at how sweet the tone of the show actually was.
It's extremely wholesome. I think another thing, as you were just explaining that, I feel like the thing I think about all the time or that I thought about the entire time I was watching the show is it's every individual on the show is reminiscent of a person just alone in their own apartment and their musings out loud to themselves, yes. But it's actually getting communicated to others. I think the people that they chose in the show, the reason it was so successful to me at least was just everybody on the show was very good at communicating their thoughts, their emotions, their feelings in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And the show would not be nearly as interesting without that.
Like, yeah, what I loved about the process must have been very intense.
Oh, for sure.
The voice messaging aspect of it is a different way than just us, you know, going on our phones and typing out a caption.
Well,
like, you
totally
get to think
brilliant.
Out loud. So it comes off much better than it would, say, if you were, like, sending a tweet.
Because as the viewers, we can hear tone, and the various players cannot hear tone. So we get to also see them sometimes misunderstand each other, which is kind of fun because a lot of the interactions that you see on the circle kind of mirror things that you might have experienced in one way or another via text, or you know, they have different challenges that seem to sort of mimic various aspects of social media platforms, you know, like a Reddit AMA type of thing,
yes.
Or you know, they pick profile pictures and
status updates,
Pictionary of sorts.
Super super interesting to watch people try to determine, if I have one photo to present to this world, what am I choosing? Why am I choosing it? Why am I not choosing this other photo?
Yeah, I loved when they would break down their decisions in that vein. Like, why does this picture represent me? Mm-hmm. What do I want to represent to these people so that they feel like they can talk to me or they feel like I'm real and not a catfish? That whole aspect of it was really, really interesting.
The thing that edified me the most about that was I feel like when you're, as a woman using dating apps, I feel like you know or you're very careful about what images you're putting out because you want to make sure they're conveying the proper image of yourself. So it was funny because I found that there were some individuals on the show who would pick an image. They would have this whole speech about what they thought that that image conveyed.
And it's not what you
felt. And it's so not what I thought. And in my mind, I mean, that seems very obvious. But, you know, watching the show, you're just sort of like, oh, wow. Like, this person really thinks that that's what that says. And I don't think that that says that at all.
Yeah.
So right. We're all trying to project
an image.
A message into the world. But the way that that message is received is out of our control.
Completely. Mm-hmm.
Like, I love when they, the first episode, someone uses a photo that's very filtered, and they all call her out immediately. Like, I can't trust this girl. Mm-hmm. She filtered her whole face. And I was like, exactly how we feel, though, right. Scrolling through Instagram and seeing, like, oh, that's a filter. That's a filter. Oh, look, a real picture. Like,
but in tandem with that, I'm thinking there was one character on the show who she had had, Miranda, and... Mm-hmm. I personally, I guess this maybe being a woman and knowing that like women wear makeup or they don't wear makeup or they're in bathing suits or they're wearing dresses. Like she posted, I think throughout the series, like three different photos or images. She had a boomerang at one point of herself. And one of the remarks, I think it was from Shubi, had said at one point, he's another character.
Shubi is someone who refers to social media as the devil.
As the devil. But he says out loud at one point, he goes, those two photos don't even look like the same woman. He was like, I don't think they are. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, no,
of course they are.
It's definitely the same woman. There's no question there. So it was just so funny that they immediately jumped to, oh, maybe she's a catfish.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, of all the people here, I mean, she wasn't a catfish, but I'm like, of all the people here, she's the last person I would have assumed that about.
Yeah.
So again, it's just so funny. You have no control over your public perception, even though you think you do.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a great segue for us to kind of go into, what do you guys think is new or interesting or moving the genre of reality television forward about this show? Because I found that it really broke form with kind of what we're used to consuming in terms of our American reality TV offerings. You know, it wasn't like a home makeover or like food competition show. It wasn't a dating show. But like, and yet all of these things
existed
in one thing. Elements.
Yeah, because it had like the competition aspect, the dating aspect, but it also is very timely to the moment we're in, which is like social media obsession and a way to kind of play with that. I also think the cast has been one of the most diverse casts on reality TV. I mean, I've mentioned many times before that I'm a Survivor fan, and I do see that on that kind of show as well. But this was really interesting because they're millennial, but they're much more diverse than we've seen, like, on The Bachelor.
Yeah, different body types, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic situations, a good amount of racial diversity, sexual identities. It was, you know, pretty much everything except for age. We did have one boomer woman accompany her son.
Problematic take. She was arguably my least favorite person on the show.
She was my least favorite, too.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Tammy.
She didn't really need to be there.
She didn't need to be there.
She didn't need to be there. Her son was plenty of personality.
Plenty is the perfect word for that. Yeah. I think one of my favorite parts of the show was just how self-aware it was. It wasn't trying to be anything it wasn't. It was just, it's playing with social media and the absurdities that come along with that. I'm on social media constantly all day long. So for me, it was just fun to watch a show that kind of played with the things that you think you know about it. But yeah, I think the characters on the show made it, there's no other show I've ever seen on television where every single person on the show had something deeply likable about them and then deeply hateable at the same time. Like, I don't think I've ever rooted for more people simultaneously.
I know.
I basically loved all of them.
Right.
That's why when the winner was announced, it was so hard because I was like, I like each and every one of you for
different
ways. Meanwhile, if you go back to the first episode, I was like, I can't stand these people. So it's just funny.
I think something that you see on a lot of, especially American reality TV, is leaning into conflict more than connection. I mean, you have an element of connection on a show like The Bachelor, which obviously is the one that comes to mind because we're talking about it all the time. But like the first half of the season, especially this season, has been all conflict. Mm-hmm. And I think there's almost like an overestimation in terms of the audience and how much they want to see that, because I was totally charmed and also very invested in seeing kind of an abundance of sweetness and connection. There was still tension in it.
But very little confrontation.
Right.
I know you guys are speaking to Sean, who was also on the show, and there is a an episode. I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but there's an episode where she has a, which should be a pretty tense confrontation with Joey, who then explains to her his strategy for why he made a decision that he did. And I thought that entire moment, as even though there was tension between them, I think the way that he went about it and handled it, I've never seen a character who, in watching everything he did prior to that, you're like, oh, this guy's going to, like, he's maybe going to blow up. Like, you just think that maybe something super bad's going to happen. And then it doesn't, and he surprises you, and it's one of those, like,
very, and it's still entertaining.
It's super entertaining, and it's this wholesome moment. I think the way I'll use this comparison, I tell people to watch The Great British Bake Off because I think it's a show of nice people doing nice things. And watching The Circle is kind of, it's nice people doing real people things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those shows that I feel like I could rewatch again and still find things to be entertained about.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the Bake Off. Oh my God, it's my favorite thing. But no, you're so right. And I, what I love about somebody like Joey is how he mentioned that at first he might not be who you think he is.
I made a lot of assumptions about
him. But he was so thoughtful through the whole process. Like every answer or every text he'd send, he'd really think about his side of it, mm-hmm. but also how the person will react. And he was so much better with Sean, actually, than I thought he'd be.
He totally subverted the meathead vibe that he gives
exactly.
off. And I think for that reason alone, I don't know anyone who's watched the show who didn't come into the show having one perception of him and walk out with a different one. And I understand whoever casted this show clearly saw that in him.
Put a lot of thought into.
Because he's somebody who comes in, and he comes in strong. He's got the loudest personality, arguably, of anybody else on the show. But he's got so much heart. And it's how often can you say that those two things coincide without confrontation, without problems? Like, he doesn't cause problems, really, on the show. He's the one that's, like, the center of, like, the love story on the show.
Everybody loves him.
He
ranks number one for a lot of people throughout the whole season.
Because he reads as he is. And I don't know how you can bottle that authenticity and how you can sell it, because I would buy some.
Yeah.
It seems like it should be put upon, and it's not. It reads so natural.
Mm-hmm. And authenticity itself is such an odd thing because, yes, he was himself, but we're still, of course, it's in a controlled environment.
Right.
We're seeing a specific part of these people. I mean, that's how we exist in the world, right?
Also, TV.
That's TV, and that's social media, and you are always projecting a certain piece of yourself, and it's not going to ever be the full picture, but it also doesn't mean that it's not real. And I think, you know, we see an obsession on The Bachelor with, is this person fake? Is this person here for the wrong reasons? Mm-hmm. And I always have a problem with that framing. And I think fakeness in general is something that also tends to be, like, pretty gendered. And I appreciated that The Circle, instead of kind of running away from that conflict, really, really, really leaned into that conflict. Like, that was the entire premise of the show was, you know, we live in a world where we are having most of our social interactions
online,
mm-hmm. behind a screen. Like, we are constantly texting, we are constantly posting. I mean, I certainly am, and I'll own that. That's just, you know, and it's not that it's not real, but it is controlled.
And why can't those things all coexist together happily? I think that's kind of the beauty of a show like this, where you can be super real and in a controlled environment and putting on a show while also being your authentic self. Like, I think there's a beauty in all of those things kind of merging into one. I think the problem with viewers watching a show like The Bachelor versus watching, like, The Circle, I think there's also the conceit in there of, you know, the people in The Bachelor, are they looking for love? Like, I feel like that has to be part of the equation as well in order for that person to be quote unquote real.
Yeah. And also we've seen, you know, it's an influencer platform, The mm-hmm. Bachelor now. And me and Emma have been talking a lot this season about how we wish they would kind of lean into that mm-hmm. and be more self-aware of, like, yeah, there are people here who are ready to fall in love, but there are also people here using this as a launching pad.
And most people are there to do both.
Yeah.
Right. Which, like, it,
which,
to
again,
me, there's no conflict there.
Exactly. Like, and that should be okay.
But, like, lean in a little bit, which they've tried
exactly.
with Revolve dates and all that. But it's like, I want a little bit more. Like, we kind of, you have to evolve
with society.
So I want to talk a little bit about the catfishing element of the circle, because it definitely is something that creates a lot of the plot and dramatic tension. So as Jenna explained before, some people come in and present themselves in a way that is intentionally not who they are. Either, you know, we have Sean, who works for a plus-size fashion brand and considers herself to be like a body positive advocate. And in order to kind of shed a light on the way that fat people are treated both offline and online, but specifically online, she comes in and uses her personality, her name, but a significantly thinner friend's photos. And then you have someone like Seaburn, who tries to emulate the personality of his girlfriend, essentially. And
Karen,
yeah, who comes in, who is a butch lesbian and comes in as a that very filtered photo that we were referencing before, like very kind of Instagram-friendly, beautiful, perhaps straight, and if not straight, then femme-presenting mm-hmm. person. One that I thought was really interesting is the Alex Adam one. So yes. Alex is a, like, 30-something, sort of a little bit, like, goofy dweeby.
Theater nerd.
Yeah, theater nerd.
He, love,
I,
though.
I loved him. No.
I did not. I have a contentious. Oh, we can talk about that.
He was okay. So the thing that was, So I will complicate that opinion. But I didn't love everything about him. But I could appreciate like his actual personality. I was like, oh, I know people like this.
Yeah,
this sort of like little like charming weirdo. And he had been with his wife for, you know, 11 years. And he's like, I'm gonna come in and be the hot guy, the conventionally hot guy. Adam, he calls himself, and he puts up a photo that's like a shirtless photo. It's very like the kind of thing that if you are a woman who has been on a dating app, you've like seen that kind of thing. And it was really fascinating to see how he perceived that this person would exist in the world. And it was almost to his own detriment, where because he was like, well, I'm going to be the hot guy and this is what women like.
Right.
He ended up coming off as pretty creepy and overly mm-hmm. forward and mm-hmm. clearly was saying lots of things that he would never say as himself.
But also things that he didn't even believe.
Like, right.
I think my biggest issue with him was he had no... Okay, I'll use the Seaburn-Rebecca comparison. I feel like whenever Seaburn would send a message as Rebecca, he did so in a way where there was heart behind it. He really took a second to think, okay, how would Rebecca respond to this? Whereas with Adam, he had that, or
Alex
as Adam, his MO was sort of, okay, I'm going to create this persona. It wasn't based on anything real.
No. Well, right. He wasn't emulating like, a specific person.
Right.
He was emulating a type that he believed existed and has an easier time moving about the world than he does.
Like, how would the hot guy react to
this? Right, and in some ways, that's absolutely true. Like, anyone who, there is a thing as pretty privilege, and that affects men and women. Mm-hmm. And if you are conventionally attractive, moving through online spaces can be easier in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. But I also think he sort of forgot that those people also have like fully fleshed out personalities.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he would have honestly been better off if he knew a hot person.
I was just going to say
and,
that.
Like
he clearly didn't have friends that were like Adam.
Right.
So he's just kind of using his outside view of these kind of guys to
and it
came inform
off terribly.
His
it came off
personality
horribly.
On the show.
And
it,
and
wasn't
it is
great.
Worth noting that
I wish he was just Alex, to be honest. Like, I wanted him
me
to just
too.
Be yourself.
Me too.
That was the takeaway everybody I've talked to about his character, because I think the first thing I walked into any conversation with the circle was like, oh, God, this guy's really irritating. Yeah. Like, wait till you get to his appearance on the show. Which I feel bad, because I think had he come in as himself,
he would have been significantly less irritating.
I was about to say, I think his quirkiness would have come through in a way that's a lot more charming.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
He's not trying to be something that he's not. He's very authentically, like I said, quirky and weird and likes things that maybe not everybody likes. And that's okay. That's fun. Yeah. That's different.
Absolutely. And I do think it's worth noting that he ends up on a date with the other catfish.
Yeah.
And it is this
so
like
awkward.
Brilliant, brilliant scene where you see these two men.
Grown men.
grown men pretending to be people they are not and trying to guess at how these people
would be flirting with each other. And they end up actually meeting.
Yeah, so great.
And that was the moment where I found Alex to be the most charming.
Oh, is because when his reaction is so good.
It's yeah. so delightful. Like, they are just so thrilled that neither of them had, you know, led the other one right. on or hurt the other one. And it was just very fun and sweet to watch.
It's the only show on television where somebody could say, I'm a catfish, and people weren't super, yeah. super hurt by it. I feel like it's the kind of I'm super curious to know what Neve Shulman thinks of the show, I have to say.
yeah,
just
right?
Just because the end of every Catfish episode, we're talking about the MTV show Catfish, at the end of every one of those episodes, someone's crying.
Yeah.
Someone's deeply hurt. Like, someone has spent years of their life invested in somebody that wasn't really the person that they said that they were. So to watch a show where you go into it knowing, hey, I could be talking to a catfish at any moment.
It makes the catfish element a lot less sinister than it is in real life.
Yeah,
when
for
people
sure.
are usually, like, scamming each other romantically.
Right.
Yeah. When the catfish walk in, they're like, oh, my God, man, that's amazing. I can't believe you did that the whole time.
It's
but
so
then
good.
Poor Shuby with Rebecca was like, slightly the more he thought about it, he's like, I can't believe you're a catfish. Like, I fell for it. Like, I really liked Rebecca. She was my sister.
His reaction was also, like, the kombucha girl of like this of the circle. He was his jaw drops. Yeah. He had, you know, hands on his face. He's like, oh my God. And there's a moment where he literally sits at the table and he's got his hands over his head and he's just like, oh my God. Like, I can't believe.
But then it's weird because Seaburn is in this, you know, in the original crew, mm-hmm. but I felt like they didn't trust him in the end. Like, he wasn't a part of the pack because they say, you are family, but you also lied, so they can't.
But also, we don't feel that we know you. I mean,
we don't know Seaburn, we know right. Rebecca, so now I'm confused. I don't know who I was talking to. So you can kind of see that in the finale, too.
Right. Which is
the vibes change, which, yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
The saddest part to me was also Seaburn was not, I did not like him when he first came in, and by the end, I really fell in love with him a little
me
bit.
Me too.
I did. I hate to say that even though I knew he was lying, I just.
But there was, again, there was a sweetness behind
for sure.
it in a, that made it more palatable.
And mm-hmm. also to loop back to The Bachelor, in my mind, I think he was there for the right reasons. Like, I think he played the game the way that the game was intended to be played.
And he was the only catfish that made
and
it to the end.
And you need people that are going to come in as not totally themselves or
right.
else it's not fun to watch.
Yeah, so like, get boring.
Yeah, there's just an element of that that is part of the sauce.
He also proved that social media is exactly what we think it is. It's a show. And he put on the show the right way.
Yes, absolutely. And I think so. Samita, who is the executive editor over at Teen Vogue, wrote a really great review of The Circle. And so I just wanted to kind of read out some quotes from her piece. And she gets at this idea of authenticity and the way that it affects and plays out in The Circle. She wrote, "Social media is often doused with this idea of authenticity. Authenticity is rewarded with follows and likes and engagement, even when people aren't really being authentic. Philosophers have long argued about whether authenticity is possible, and not just online. Ostensibly, we are always, quote, putting on a face or code switching to navigate the world and communicate effectively. This is where The Circle is at its strongest, because it chips away at the idea of an authentic identity. Watching the players interact online as they predict one another's behavior, or even trying to connect on a real level while navigating the game they are playing in competition with one another, makes you realize we are all playing this game." I loved that.
Yeah.
Because there is so much heart. There is so much, I think, authenticity in a sense in the show. And at the same time, it's a means to an end.
For sure.
And that can never quite be separated. And I do think the reason that it struck such a chord is because that is something that we are all playing at all the time. We are always adapting to whatever situation we're in. We are always aware if we're being, you know, watched, taped, photographed,
judged.
I mean, my God, like, it's like you hear about people's, like, people having, like, a mirror face or something,
yeah.
you know, or you change your voice when you're on the phone and you're talking to someone who's a customer service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, and I recognize that in myself. You know, I know my good side. I'm so aware of what a certain angle will convey, a certain pose. And
it happens without even thinking about it consciously, because we just exist in a world where we are constantly in a feedback loop.
Also, yeah, just your different stages of life. Like when I was single, it was about posting about me out at a bar drinking. Mm-hmm. When I got married, it was my wedding photos. When I had a baby, it's now, how cute is my baby? How cute is the swaddle she's wearing?
Either way, it's pigtail. Like, affirm me, but you affirm have
to,
who I
yes,
am.
Yes, you have to fit into these, like, things, these categories.
For sure.
And it just portrays... But you don't have to. You just think you do.
Well, but it's also just portrays the way that people move about the world, which is with a great deal of insecurity. And I think that that is just kind of the human condition. Like, we're always going to be looking for someone to approve of us and affirm our decisions.
Oh my God, it's
I
so
was about
deep,
to say
right?
that I'm got like... so existential. you're entirely correct. I just am sitting there and I'm like, damn, I want to delete my Instagram, but I can't.
Just start over.
I know. Right?
I mean, also, there's nothing. I mean, look, we can acknowledge these conflicts and still be like, well, I'm just going to exist in it. It's like how I feel every time I read something Gia Tolentino writes about, like, cute workout clothes or bar class. And I'm like, yeah, this is all correct. And yet I still going to go to bar, and I love it.
I'm still a cog in the machine.
Yeah, yeah.
I still need my Fabletics matching outfit.
I know. Yeah, it's adorable, and it makes me feel great, okay? And also, Instagram is fun. Yeah.
It's performative as hell. It's just...
It's exhausting.
It's still my favorite social media platform, so go figure.
Same. And I think, again, that's what I like about The Circle, is that it's not particularly preachy one way or another, but it does sort of, in a really fun, light way, get at this fundamental tension and sort of speaks to the fact that you can't really claim that anyone is like all real or all fake. And that's a theme that we've seen coming up a lot in The Bachelor. And it's interesting to see a reality show just totally like avoid that argument by just leaning into it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to talk to Sean Taylor about all of this because I'm sure she has a different kind of insight into how it all worked. And
I just need to know, like, do they ever know what time of day it is?
Or also how many days it actually is. Like, how many days are they physically...
I think you probably lose all sense of time and you're just like, you're like, I don't know, life is a circle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, any final thoughts, Jenna?
Everyone watch The Circle immediately. Also, I really hope they bring it back again for another season.
Me too. So, Jenna, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a total delight.
So much fun.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll talk to Sean Taylor from The Circle. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that
I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the show.
So joining us today on the podcast, we have Sean Taylor, social media manager, body positive advocate, and of course, one of the stars of The Circle.
Ah, that girl on The Circle.
That girl.
Breakout hit of the year.
Yeah, is that your identity now? You're like, that you're that girl.
The girl in the avocado pajamas.
Yeah. Oh my God, with the egg and the avocado.
Where
perfect
did you get
pairing
those?
I got them from ASOS. I think they're sold ASOS out now, though. Yeah.
Wow, look what you started. Yeah. You're like Kate Middleton.
It's a yeah movement.
Honestly, we need more pajama influencers.
We really yes do.
Like cozy influencers.
I volunteer as tribute. Yeah.
Now, when you're walking around on the street, are you starting to get, you know, tapped on the shoulder? Like, hello, are you Sean from The Circle?
Okay, so it's so funny because the first time a new Taco Bell cantina opened up around the corner from my office. I haven't been to Taco Bell in like a year. I go and this girl's face just like lights up and she's like, are you on that show? And I was equally like, yeah. And I was like, amazing. But then you're just kind of like standing there waiting for your cheesy gordita crunch. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm. You're like, yep. Hi, still.
What can we talk about over our cheesy gordita crunches? Gotta go.
The thing is, I go back to Taco Bell and then someone recognized me there again. And I was like, what is like this glitch in the matrix? I get a tiny bit of fame, but I can only be recognized at Taco Bell. But then finally someone else broke the spell. It's crazy.
Like
it's
on
really
the
nuts
actual street outside of Taco
yes
Bell.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. The vortex corrected.
But that's like my demographic, I guess, teens at Taco
There's
Bell.
There's like a good Venn diagram of like people who watch The Circle, people who order Taco Bell.
You yeah should try going to Chipotle, McDonald's, yeah, just like see what's going on.
I don't know. I mean, so I loved this show. It was so fun. I devoured it. So I want to know, like, how did you get cast in the first place?
It's so crazy. It happened where all good things happen in the DMs. Literally out of nowhere, someone like from casting reached out to me and was like, hey, you should audition for this show. And I keep on saying it feels like the universe had my brain wiretapped because, like, I love social media, like, plus-size representation. I love reality TV. So it was like I couldn't have made this up, and then it just, like, fell into my lap. It was insane. Yeah.
That's a really good DM slide. It's definitely,
oh,
like,
yeah,
better than what I get sliding into my DMs. Yeah. Just like a lot of angry men.
I was going to say, yeah, just a lot of yelling. And what was the audition? Like, what did you have to do?
It was so weird. Honestly, the audition part was like the most like, okay, is this legit or is this like maybe human trafficking? I'm not sure at this
They're
time.
They're like, just get on a plane. We'll take your passport.
Well, it's all very like secretive and you're kind of like, it was kind of like replicating the show. So you were like isolated for a bit. So I was like, all right, boyfriend, hope I see you again at some point in this life. Yeah, it was crazy.
So I'm curious why you think The Circle has kind of struck such a chord with people, because it really felt like no one knew what the hell it was, and then all of a sudden everyone I knew had not only heard of it but like watched it and loved it.
Ah, that's crazy. Honestly, I don't even know. It's insane. I think like it's fun, right, that it's like there's some drama, there's some competition, but like at the end of the day, it's like not too cutthroat, you know? So I feel like I'm always looking for that like reality show or TV show that it's kind of like a pleasant watch at the end of the day.
Yes, we're having this problem with The Bachelor right yeah now because the women are really mean to each
guys
other.
I yeah haven't caught up on this season, but that's all I've heard. And I was listening to your guys' podcast and I was like, man, I really gotta watch it.
You do.
Well, if you watch and then you can come on back on the podcast. Yes. can help us recap, we would love that.
Oh my God, yeah. I would love it. Yeah, but seriously, it's like, it's not, like, if this was a show where it was like, we all get drunk and are like in each other's faces, like, I feel like I would have drowned.
But you're locked in your own room.
Yeah, on the couch in my jammies. Yeah. It feels safe.
And also, everybody seemed much kinder to each other than they do on The Bachelor. Like, there was like a little tribe. It was nice to see.
I felt like the casting, too. Like, overall, like, there were a lot of, like, real people on the show, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask about the casting because I was struck, you know, by sort of the sweetness behind almost all of the personalities that were cast. And also, I loved seeing such a diversity in kind of every sense except maybe age.
Yeah.
Tammy.
Yeah.
She got
like mostly young people, yes, but like right. In every other sense, it felt like there was a lot of diversity. And did you feel like in the casting process that was a priority for them?
I know it was for sure. And like, you know, specifically, like, being a plus-size woman, like, so little representation on TV. When it does happen, it's like, okay, am I just going to be, like, a punchline? So I had a lot of, like, concerns going into the show, and I know, like, that's something that was definitely top of mind for them. And I think it's just so fun, like, that I think there's, like, a certain charm in just watching, like, regular people trying to figure this thing out, you know?
It's so true.
I loved it.
And you came in as a catfish.
Yeah.
With your thinner friends' photos.
Yes.
Which I saw you posted a photo of the two of you together, and I was like, mind blown.
I know. We met up in Miami. But I don't know if you guys saw the whole, like, or a lot of the Circle crew was together in Miami.
No. How did I miss this? Wow.
Okay, I literally
need to do a social media deep dive.
Yeah. Please do. I literally just came in last night and my flight was delayed, and so like,
oh my God,
if I'm
you're
a little
a champion.
Raspy, that's why, because like, wow, Miami is just something
wild.
Else.
I love Miami.
I'm not built for Miami, I don't think.
I think Joey probably is.
Oh
right?
Yeah, for sure.
But
he
Sammy.
Wasn't there, but Sammy, yes, is like the mayor of Miami
there, right?
At this point, yes.
So can you explain why you made the choice to come in as a catfish?
Yeah, so it's something that, like, I thought a lot about. I wasn't just like, I'll do this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really kind of, like, toiled over it, to be honest. But really, like, what my decision came down to was, like, thinking about the impact I could have and the conversations that would be started. And I think a lot of people like to think of body positivity as just, like, you know, take a picture in the mirror in your underwear and love yourself and it's all great. But there's also like a big part of it is of like challenging the systems and situations where not everyone gets to love themselves, you know? And like my job is social media, so I see the worst of the worst of the worst of people online. And I work for like a plus size fashion company. So I just like, I've seen it all. And I know the majority of people who are like, I mean, look at the cast of The Bachelor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if I was going to be thrown into that situation, like, it's not about how I feel about myself, because I feel really good about that. It's just my life experience of how other people have perceived me. But I knew that, like, if I had the chance to be myself, like, if I felt like it would work out okay, then I would, like, take that chance and run for it. And I'm really happy I did.
So that
was
something
fun.
That you had thought about beforehand?
It was something
that, like,
was, like, in my back pocket,
okay.
For sure, you know? And, I'm so glad that moment happened. I'm so glad that I told the people that I told and told them how I told them. And, I realized, like, quickly that having those connections was really important in the circle and that you had to move really quickly to make that happen. So I'm glad I did.
I loved watching your, like, big reveal, quote unquote.
It was crazy to watch.
I was going to say, how was it to watch it back and see the other cast members react in real time? Yeah,
I know. That's what was nuts, too, because in the circle, you literally just see
the
your
typing,
piece
right?
of the pie.
Yeah.
You have no idea what else is going on. So I was like, I know what people like
said to you.
Right. But I don't know, like, what their faces did. You know?
Right.
That's going to be kind of crazy to watch. So it was, I was definitely nervous watching it back. It was such a trip watching it overall, like, especially because I didn't, when Netflix released it in batches, the first batch, like, I wasn't in. So I was watching it with friends, and I always watch reality TV with friends. And it wasn't, like, clicking in my head, like, I'm about to walk in on this show. And like after watching the first four episodes, I was like, oh no, I have no idea what I said or did. Like, I just completely forgotten at that point. So yeah, it was like there were so many surprises watching it back.
And did you know going in that you were planning on revealing your true identity, or were you trying to be the catfish the whole time?
No, if I had an opportunity to, like, if I felt like it would work out me coming out as myself, then I was going to go for it. Like, if when I walked in, my first chat was Skinny Queen's chat, you know? And if it was all,
oh,
like...
Oh, God, that one really made me, like, grow. Like, oh. And someone started it that I was like, I don't even think you understand... What, like, I don't think you mean to project this,
of course,
what you're projecting.
Of course. Yeah.
But it was super interesting to witness as a viewer.
Right. And like, you know, I don't know if the conversations were a lot more like image driven, or I just got a sense from people that, you know, maybe they had feelings about people who were fat, I would maybe be like, okay, I'll just maybe keep this other photo for a little while longer. So I was really grateful that, like, I initially, like, really felt that connection with Chris. And
Chris. I love Chris.
Chris is such an angel. And then I was like, I just have to go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, your day-to-day in the circle. Of course, we don't want you to reveal the magic sauce too much, but how long was filming from start to finish?
It wasn't that long. It was like, I think like a few weeks. It really was not long at all.
A few weeks, though, in a tiny apartment with no light coming through. I'd be like, what day is it? Although you get to go out, you know, in the jacuzzi. So that always helps.
Yeah, the jacuzzi,
so you're like,
fun.
Wow, there's an outside world.
I know.
Yeah, like how much natural light do you get? What was your sense of time in there? Because that was my biggest question.
Sense of time was non-existent. I would be like peering out the window and like trying to gauge where the sun was and be like, how long have I been here? Just like using clues based on that.
Did they like tell you when to wake up and when to go to sleep? Yeah.
It would just be like all the lights would come on. Yeah. Like, okay.
You're like, I guess it's morning. Alert.
Yeah, alert AF.
I assume you guys couldn't hear other people through the walls.
No, you really couldn't. A lot of people like were guessing about that.
Were you spread out? Because it's one big building. You don't know.
We didn't know where we were in relation to each other.
Because we see like the hallway and you just assume everybody's in one of those rooms. But I'm like, would they be able to hear each other like screaming when an alert happens?
When you look like at the B-roll, the shot, that's
a
the
big
actual building.
It's a big building.
Yeah. So I don't think we were on top of each other. You could never hear anyone else. Yeah.
Right. I was assuming that it was kind of like spread out for sound purposes.
But yeah.
So interesting. In terms of like the food and books and stuff, it felt like people came in and their apartments were fully stocked. Did you get to like make requests?
Well, you could bring stuff with you for sure. People brought their books like ready to go, knowing that like we weren't going to have any Netflix time. Like you couldn't watch Netflix, which was, you know.
But you could bring books because on The Bachelor, even they limit your reading material.
Yeah. You can't bring books on The Bachelor?
I'm pretty sure at least it used to be that you could only bring the Bible.
I know. I wonder if they change it. We have to look into that.
Yeah, on Paradise, I know they can bring, you see people reading books.
Uh-huh. But just what you want to do when you're on The Bachelor. Yeah, like, let me open up to Psalms.
Yeah. Let's relax my nerves and read some Bible verses.
And you seem to be taped in, like, every room.
Yes.
What? How did you have any sense of privacy, like showering,
None.
All that?
It was so weird. It was so weird. And it was also like, I'll be honest with you, it was hard to forget that you were on camera. Like sometimes you're having like a conversation, you're really in the moment, but you're in a room by yourself. Like there's not much distraction.
Yeah.
And like those cameras in the room, they actually move. And so, like, you would be, like, you know, sitting on the couch, and then you, like, go get, like, a glass of water, and you just hear, like,
you're like,
oh, yeah.
Super big brother.
Let me just get a glass of water the way I always get a glass of water.
The very elegant way. Right. I know. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, it's so revealing of all. Like, I feel like I do a lot of, like, weird shit when I'm alone.
Well, as we all do.
Yeah, like, everyone's kind of weird and gross.
In our private spaces?
Yeah.
I always wondered, too, did you guys, like, did they rely on you to clean the rooms and all that? Like,
oh, yeah. It was all up to us. Yeah.
Sometimes I saw Shuby's room. I was like, boy, let's sweep up a little bit. Like, it's looking a little dusty down there.
You do have some time on your hands, too, so.
But, like, if I, do I want to clean on
do
my
they, like, give
off?
You a not Swiffer? Really.
I didn't have a Swiffer in my room, no. But I don't think I came to a point of needing a Swiffer.
Yeah, you weren't there long enough where it got real right. dusty.
The apartments were super cute,
they
though.
They were so cute.
Oh, my God. I love, like, I really loved my room, too. I love, like, gold and, you know, like, kind of, like, natural accents.
It felt like they, like, took into account people's tastes, and there were such cute little
especially
messages.
Especially Joey's room. Joey's room was so Joey, right? Just like the, like, New York, you know?
Oh, Joey was one of those characters that surprised me so much. The first episode, so I was like, I'm going to hate this guy.
Yeah.
Like, just the way he was talking about women, I was like, ugh. And then...
He's incredible.
He's so much empathy, and he was so well-intentioned and was so caring for other people. Like, I loved the way that we got to spend enough time with a lot of the people on the circle that I felt like I got, like, a more complicated sense of who all of you were as people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Even if it was just, you know, in this, of course, controlled, limited way.
I know you and Joey had a moment, too, where wasn't he one of the first to reach out to you once you...
He was. Yeah, we actually had, like, a couple more moments that didn't make it to the show.
That was going to be one of our questions. Oh. What are some things that we didn't get to see that you wish we had?
Let me tell you. Okay. One, my first day in the circle... Wait, no, after, so trivia happened, went to bed, woke up the next day. Bill and I had a very flirty moment.
And we missed, yeah, we saw almost nothing from Bill.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Poor Bill.
I know. He's like such a funny, sweet, down-to-earth guy. I really like him. But yeah, we had this like flirting session that I was probably like beet red the entire time. Like, when I was in college, I was, like, single for a while. I was, like, Tinder, let's go, like, was, like, on my flirting game. And I've been with my boyfriend for, like, you know, 4 years. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
You're like, how do I flirt?
I know.
The number of people, I was so interested that... there were a lot of people who were cast who were in relationships, but everyone said they were single.
I know. Nobody wanted to be like, I'm in a relationship. And I'm like, what's so bad about being in a relationship?
I kind of got it, though. You don't want to feel like it. It
you
makes you feel,
open.
Feel more
you
closed
got more
off.
To work with.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. So that Bill moment was hysterical. It was also really funny because he was voted off before I revealed myself. And so the first time that he and I actually interacted face-to-face was in, like, a green room before the finale.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know. And I was, like, terrified. I was like, I feel like I'm back on the show. Like, what is he going to think? And he was, like, so nice and sweet and awesome. He's a very funny guy.
I know, because that must have been... It's always tricky when... I know you and Joey met face-to-face.
Yeah.
Did you know that Joey would be Joey? Or did you ever question that he could himself be a catfish?
No, I really thought Joey was Joey. Mm-hmm. I did have a feeling about... I actually... had a very strong feeling about Rebecca. And I also didn't make it to the show, but I at one point said, I feel like Rebecca's a man. And it, funnily enough, was not the period conversation.
It wasn't. Oh, my God. That was
the
so
period conversation.
Funny.
Oh, my
was
God.
The best thing to watch.
I just
loved
seeing, like, you and Sammy be like, what?
It only hurts on my left side. And everybody was like,
but then
really?
He said that's an actual thing that happens to his girlfriend. I was like, know. I've never heard of this.
No, so it was during the painting competition where, like, in the photo, I'm like, this girl can do a winged eyeliner. Why does this painting look like this? Like, if you can do a winged eyeliner, you can do something better than what's happening here. Like, if you go back and look, his painting is horrific.
You're like, this is not someone who has spent a lot of time on aesthetics.
It's scary.
The first hint. I really did want to meet the real Rebecca, though. I was hoping she'd come back in the finale.
Yeah.
To see her.
Did you see there was a little video Netflix put out of Shubham and Rebecca and the real Rebecca, who's Sammy and Seaburn, they all met. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
See, this is the content we need.
Wow. So you and Bill came in, as you said, about halfway through the game. And it did feel a lot like just automatically people are at a disadvantage if they came in later. How do you think the show could correct for that in future seasons? Or is it just like, that's the name of the game? I mean, I guess on Bachelor in Paradise, it's the same thing. Like, coming in later just sucks.
Yeah, because people had those, like, they formed those relationships already. Right. So they were the OGs, per se.
It really was. And it felt that way coming in. Like, it felt like, especially, like, the level of conversation that you had. Like, you're only going off of what you're saying to each other. So people just keep on raising the stakes. By the time Bill and I came in, group chats were like, I love you forever. You're my family. And I'm like, I just got here.
You're like, hello, my name is Sean.
Exactly. I thought it was interesting. So you guys know this is, like, a UK show, right?
Yes.
So apparently in the UK version, when the new people came in, they could rate, but they couldn't be rated. So I thought it was interesting that they took that element away, because it would kind of give you a little bit of an opportunity to like kind of shake things up a bit. I feel like that's the biggest thing. Or like, I wonder if there were like teams or something like that. Like, that would maybe shake things up.
Yeah. Because it is hard when you first come in and you can't rate. You kind of have to sit back and watch how the ratings fall.
I know.
But you're right. It would be helpful for you guys to be able to rate. Maybe they can't rate you. So
right.
So that you could stay another few days.
Right. Yeah.
And shake things up, as you said.
Yeah. I will be curious to see if they tweak the format at all moving forward.
Yeah.
Just because the game element. I'm curious whether they'll be able to kind of recreate the casting magic again, because there isn't sort of an innocence that anyone has going into a new thing.
Of
and
course.
Now anyone who goes in will know how it works. Like, there's got to be, I just imagine there will be a little bit more strategy going forward, just because, not because people are nefarious, but just like, what it is.
Right. You would think. I mean, like, I hope that maybe they continue to, like, because I think a lot of us, like, never pursued reality TV.
Right.
Like, it just really fell in your lap. And it's crazy how casting people managed to find you. I don't know how it was on anyone's radar. I don't know.
Because, yeah, he like, isn't a social media guy. So I'm like, where did you come from, Judy?
If you look at his Instagram, he had, like, 4 posts before the circle. Yeah. And they were, like, from 2014.
Now he's killing it on Instagram.
I know.
You love to see. It is kind of wild that all of you guys now have these much more substantial followings, especially the people that made it all the way to the end. And someone like Shubham, who's like, social media is the devil. And now he's like, blue check.
Yeah. And now he's like, I have to update my profile regularly.
So funny.
But yeah, in terms of casting too, I do wonder next season if they'll go a little older, as we mentioned.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, on the UK series, like, there was some more age diversity. So I'm curious at, like, if, like, I don't know if there is going to be a next season, but, like, if there is a next season, like, bringing in, you know, like, maybe people who are a bit older, like, I hope that they keep people who, like, of course, like, those people who are like, I love reality TV, I'm going to be on reality TV, like, they're great to watch. We'd love to see it. But, like, there is charm in someone who's like, I don't know what the
hell I'm doing
here.
No, I really, and I do think that the format of the show lends itself to casting people who we don't get to see normally on reality television. Mm-hmm. And I just absolutely, absolutely loved that, because it is one of my biggest frustrations watching a lot of these reality shows. And you're like, there is one type of body that is on these shows. They're very, like, predominantly white often.
Right.
And the format of the show is exciting because it, like, automatically allows for a little bit more flexibility and diversity.
Something different.
And it's fun. It's fun. It's not like, you know, oh, we should have diversity just because it's, like, morally correct. But, like, it's great to watch.
Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
I just want to get, like, Miles Teller's grandma on there or something. You know what I mean? Like, somebody who's already in the social media world maybe could, like, kick it up a notch.
It would be very funny to watch the generational divide play out.
Mm. Yeah. I know, Tammy and her mojos. What did she call them?
Mojos.
Yeah. Tammy's so funny. I, like, really had a great time with her when we were in Miami. She was there.
Oh my God, Tammy!
Ed was not able to make it.
She came?
Yeah, Ed had to work, but Tammy came, and she was whooping it up, and I was here for it.
Oh, she probably had so much fun with all of you guys.
Oh my God.
You're such a good bunch.
She also, like, I was like, you are keeping up, Tammy. Like, it's past my bedtime. Like,
man, she definitely could outpace me.
Yeah.
Like, I...
1,000% she could.
Sure.
So, yeah, who are you still really in touch with out of all the people that were on the cast?
So we all have a little group chat on Instagram. We talk, like, all the time.
I love that.
Which, it's, like, it's so great because, like, I couldn't imagine going through all this stuff alone, you know? Yeah, and then, like, a lot of us, like, have each other's numbers, and then we just went to Miami together. So, like, everyone really, really keeps in touch.
I think I saw Joey, too, like, walked in a New York Fashion Week show or something.
I know.
Wow.
I loved him. I messaged him immediately, and he was like, I don't know. Like, he was like, how did this happen? I don't know. Here I am.
And how did you feel about Joey winning?
Like, I love Joey. It's kind of like, you know, the, like, what is it? Like that competition thing where whoever like knocks you out, you kind of want them to win, right?
Yeah.
So like,
at least it was for a purpose.
Yeah. So I did feel good about Joy winning, but like I had a connection with a lot of people in, you know, like the circle at some point at that time. So I mean, obviously, like I love Chris so much too. And then like once Chris was at the finale and like I was just hearing more of like his story and who he is, I was like, oh my God, my heart is like about to explode. Like such a sweetheart.
He was,
I loved
him.
Chris.
I know.
And I was reading an interview where Joey said that there was a conversation between him and Chris that ended up on the cutting room floor that I would have loved to see. Like, I didn't realize Joey, like, worked at a gay bar.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I know, there are so many little things that were cut.
Oh, yeah. Huh, that's interesting that that was cut. Because I feel like that's actually a big reason why people gravitated towards Joey. Because, like, on surface, like, face level, he's kind of, you know, yeah, that, like, Italian, like, you know, kind of Jersey Shore type of guy. But then it's like, oh, but he also works at a gay bar.
So he must be like type in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So like he must be a bit more like accepting and fun than maybe like I'm thinking. And then he like totally proves that in how like he talks to everyone, you know, and like clearly like very accepting of like Chris and having fun with Chris and like banter in the group chats that you're like, okay, you're like a cool guy.
You're cool. Yeah. You're cool.
I know. And him and Shubi are like bros now. And I love how they posted it being
so sweet.
The shoe bro or what he calls it.
Can we go a little bit more into your elimination?
Yeah.
And like how that felt at the time. And also, obviously, we only saw a small piece of your conversation with Joey. Like, how long did that conversation actually last?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, again, I have no sense of time. But
right. Of course.
It felt like it lasted... Like, we were there for, like, at least a half hour. Like, we were talking for a while. It was insane. Obviously, I was completely shocked. and I think, like, one thing that this experience I've, like, walked away with is a lot more empathy for people who are on reality TV. Because it's, like, sometimes you're watching and you're like, why are you so emotional right now? But damn, those producers make it so it is as emotional as possible. You know, you're by yourself, big like alert on the TV screen. You're like, is this the end?
Yeah, it's the only connection you have to structure.
And all they tell you is there's a super influencer coming to like kick you off.
Yes.
You don't know if they're going to come to your room. You don't know who is going to open the door.
Yeah.
Were you shocked that it was Joey that when he came in?
So shocked. Yeah. Literally. So like... there was, like, a lot of time that had elapsed since, like it seems, like, really quick on the show. But, like, I had been waiting for a while. I was like, I'm getting in my PJs. Like, I'm chilling.
I'm so happy you chose to wear those PJs again.
I'm cracking up because I wore, like, a bomb outfit, like, all day. And then I'm like, most dramatic moment. Let me get in these goofy PJs. So much time had passed that I thought to myself, I was like, oh, like, the super influencer must have gone to see
someone else.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, Joey was obviously himself, but when you see someone in real life, there's always a moment of, like, wait, you look a little bit different, you know? And so when he walked in, my brain did a complete somersault that, like, I thought maybe there was some kind of, like, tech issue and someone was coming to fix it because he was like, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, yeah, something must have malfunctioned. And then he, like, hugs me and I was like, oh, I'm going home.
Yeah. You don't look as tan as you do in your photos.
Yeah. No, I was in complete shock. It was crazy.
Did you leave, though, feeling good after you kind of, or better after you talked it out with Joey?
Yes, I felt I look like I really kind of like gave it to Joey in that last when we like talk. And like my like guiding light phrase is like, say what you mean, but don't say it mean. And so I was like, I'm not going to be like, no, Joey, no problem, because I really felt like he had like, you know, put himself out there for me. So I was like, OK, I'm going to like trust you. So I don't know. It was once I told him that I had him at number one, I could tell that he was like
gutted.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah, he was bummed out, you know. And it really like I said on the show, it just kind of really goes to show that you have no idea like what is going on. Like everyone is just making guesses, you know. Mm-hmm. And you want to have like strategy, but at the end of the day, you're just like, ah, I got to make a decision, you know. And I feel like that's really what it came down to there, and I really can't blame him for that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He was so sweet and sad.
I know.
He and he's like, oh. I'm curious because you said you're a social media manager.
Yeah.
Did any of the skills you had from that position help you in the circle?
That's a good question. I feel like maybe just in the sense of like forming connections with people, I think it helped me get into like a gameplay mindset of like, okay, everyone has these connections. Like I have to say or do something to create some intimacy with people, because I feel like that's something that like can often like resonate online if it's, you know, authentic, that like, hey, I'm going to try putting a little piece of myself out there and then I'll see how you respond to mm-hmm. it. And I felt like that like skill was going to be my only in really mm-hmm. at that point.
And just before we let you go,
yeah.
you really very directly obviously addressed online fat shaming and yeah. fat phobia in your time on The Circle. How has the viewer response been
yeah.
to that?
It's been overwhelmingly very positive, and I'm so grateful because I was so scared, honestly.
I'm so relieved to hear that.
I was really terrified, but like my DMs, I have gotten like messages literally from all over the world from people who have been like, you know, I'm so inspired by what you did. I'm like crying my eyes out on the couch. And then just like really amazing stuff from people who are like, I feel that way. Like, I feel like I can't be visible as myself. Mm-hmm. And it really like means a lot that you, you know, just kind of like shown some light on that conversation. Like I had this one, like, I don't know why it really stuck with me, but a dad from like Australia, and he was like, I feel like I can't get in the pool with my kids. And you know,
it's like,
I know that, like, I felt that. Yeah. I know what you mean. And it's really true. And of course, like, there's been some trolls, you know?
I mean, yeah.
And it's what's really interesting is kind of like the bit of a, like a mind fuck about some of it, where it'll be like, I got the most insane comment the other day where someone, I posted, I was wearing, I think, this skirt, actually.
It's a great skirt.
Thank
for
you.
Those
it's
listening.
Like, we're wearing a mauve accordion fleece skirt right now.
A great black turtleneck.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Holmes chic.
We're just staring at Sean right now. A nice clip in her hair.
So I was wearing this skirt and someone commented like, she claims to be body positive, but she, like, covers up in, like, skirts and dresses.
You're like, you mean I'm wearing clothing?
Yeah. So I was, like, immediately, like, I was, like, I haven't engaged with, like, any trolls, but I'm, like, let's try this one. I was, like, I literally have, like, nudes on my Instagram. So, like, there's that. But also, like, you can be, like, you can love yourself, and that doesn't mean you always have to be
naked
and dancing to Lizzo, you know, like modest people love themselves too. She's like, well, like, barf, I don't want to see you naked. Like, that's disgusting. Yeah.
No.
Like, I feel
block.
Like I
block from the circle, block from the circle.
I feel like you just proved my point. She like really didn't get it. But I have really like taken a step back from that. And, you know, I could get like angry and be like, see, you're completely proving my point. But instead, I'm like taking it as like a, like, the universe is, like, trying to teach me that everyone is going to have an opinion on you and want to define you in your own way. And it's going to even be conflicting opinions about you, polar opposites that just are impossible to both be true, that like it, you might as well just like do what really makes your heart happy, you know?
And that's a perfect note for us to end on.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming by before work, Sean.
Oh, I know. We got to go out for some drinks or something.
I know. Like, have me so back. Fun. Oh, my God. I would love to talk more reality TV with you guys.
Fantastic. No, seriously. The offer is open.
Yay.
But, yeah, like, please. That would be so fun.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Jenna and Sean, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps and our bonus episodes. And give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back soon with another recap of The Bachelor.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.